Hey, this is Daniel. Thanks for listening to DIY Money. If you haven't already, be sure to give us a 5-star review on iTunes so your friends know that they can learn from the show. Now, enjoy the show.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to another edition of... Yeah, start again. He's touching me.
Well, your coffee has like a love language
message on it. Somebody made me a note. We'll
you're a Starbucks person.
Yeah, it says, P.S. Don't forget to have a great day. I was like, oh, where's the letter? Like, usually P.S. comes after something. What does P.S. stand for?
Postscript.
Postscript.
Yeah, script, right?
Postscript. Well, there's
right,
no
Allie?
Script here.
You're smart.
All right, well...
I guess the coffee is intended to be the love letter.
I was doing a whole intro, and then Daniel reached over. My hand was on the cup, so we briefly held hands. It just totally threw off my game.
I love you, man.
I was looking at
really
you.
Really threw me off there. We're just going with it. We're not starting again.
Entire soliloquy on your
I love you too, bud.
Not just your name.
Yeah. Because
they don't write your name anymore. They put, like, the labels. So they had to put effort into that. There was a day when Starbucks would...
Well, it's because it's a decaf Americano. She's like, I got to put something on here for this guy.
Because this guy
orders a decaf Americano?
Crashing hard.
Crashing hard. P.S. Don't forget to have a great day.
Yeah. That's because you don't have any caffeine. They're like, ugh.
No, they're like, what's wrong with this guy? Spending $4 on brown water.
You think I can have a sip of that?
Not alcohol either.
They're concerned about you.
Mm. How you been, Daniel?
Good.
The training coming?
Caffeinated.
How's the triathlon training, swimming, biking, running coming?
Good. 2 of 3 disciplines are going well.
Which ones?
Swimming and riding.
Okay. Not the
Some
running.
Some setbacks on the running. Yeah. Tore a hamstring.
Tore?
Yeah.
You're out.
Minor
what do you mean,
tear.
Tore?
No, it's not a full tear. Minor tear.
Oh,
so
where?
I haven't
high
run
or low?
In mid hamstring.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I haven't run in 2 weeks, letting it heal and easing it back into it.
That was my 2023, like all of it.
Yeah, so we'll see.
Mm.
The problem is from like 8 years of cycling, my hamstrings are, they basically don't stretch.
Yeah, they're tight.
Because you just sit on a saddle and do one linear motion the entire time, and so cyclists make terrible runners.
Yeah, that's hard.
So we'll see. Hopefully bounce back.
I hope you recover quickly. That was my 2023. It was so frustrating, nagging injury. Anytime I tried to pick up my pace, anytime I started feeling it.
Yeah, we'll see. I might have an incredibly slow run.
Well, that's okay.
I mean, worst case, I could walk it.
You could walk it.
So, yep. Or shuffle.
There you go.
We'll see. I'll know a lot in the next couple of weeks as I ramp it back up again and try to see if everything holds together, but... I don't know. Just can't let setbacks get you down. Just got to do what you can do.
Got to keep pushing.
Danielson, move fast enough when necessary.
Well, 2024, I'm healthy and happy and running well. So, it'll recover. You'll be
It's all cyclical.
Fine. All right. Let's hit the odds and ends. This episode sponsored by Jewel Financial. We're hearing from a lot of you out there. It's been amazing. Kind of brief iteration of how this whole thing has evolved over time. DIY Money, as most of you know, was launched to reach people that would never step foot in our office. And we launched this to talk personal finance, budgeting, and savings, and investing, and so forth. And we literally called it DIY, like for do-it-yourselfers. And then what happened is some folks would reach out periodically, and they'd be like, hey, listen to the podcast, a long time. But I got this weird situation going on in my options at work or, my whatever, and would you mind taking a look at it? And so we'd say, yeah, of course. That's what Jewel Financial does. So we'd take a look at it. And then we were like, finally, there's more and more of you out there that are interested in the basics of finance or maybe some of the nuances that we dive into, but you may have some complex situation that requires a fiduciary advisor. And so... that's why all of a sudden we woke up one day and said, let's sponsor the show and we can have an opportunity to talk about our services. So we don't shy away from that. We do that for a living. Jewel Financial is our primary business. You can learn all about that on jewelfinancial.com. That's J-O-U-L-E financial. That, by the way, that's the unit of measurement of energy. If you were curious where that came from, joulefinancial.com. And if you have a unique situation, you've been a longtime listener and you say, you know what, it's about time I seek a second opinion, hit us up. We'd love to connect with you. And if we can point you in the right direction, we will. If we work with you, great. If not, that's okay too. It's pretty simple. All podcast questions would take consideration. You send to podcast@diymoney.org. You jump on your phone, you record a voice memo, send it our way. If you've listened to the show for a long time and you've never sent a question in, we'd love to hear from you. So send us a question. If we use it on the show, we'll send you a $25 Amazon gift card. All right, we got a unique one today from Jimmy. What do you got?
DIY!
Hey, DIY Money, Jimmy from California. My question for you guys is, what are trusts and how can they be used for the average American out there? Thank you.
Okay, Jimmy, this, first of all, caveat, we are not attorneys. That's a big thing, I would say. We've been around the business long enough to kind of have a basic understanding. We also did a video I would encourage you to check out on our website. Just go to Jewel Financial under videos. There's a Ask the Expert. We interviewed one of the attorneys that we refer folks in our neck of the woods. Actually, he works with folks all over the United States for drafting of documents. But he is phenomenal, and we talked about this very subject matter. So I do encourage you to check that out for a deep dive. I will say some generalities. Trusts are legal documents that basically govern assets either while you're alive or after you die. And they are written by an attorney, executed by typically a trustee or an individual, like the person maybe who's putting money in to the trust. Again, would be a grantor putting money in or someone that maybe is taking, a responsibility over assets for someone else. Maybe somebody has a medical condition or something along those lines. But the trust is really a document. It is a legal document drafted by an attorney that governs an asset. And again, that's it in generality. From there, holy cow, you can go a million different directions. The most common for you asked, the common person, the most common is what we often see or hear, you'll hear, is called a living trust, also referred to as a revocable living trust, a grantor trust. Those all are names that are synonymous with each other. Why they're so common is they are traditionally used for two primary purposes, and then they have ancillary benefits as well. The first primary purpose is when you develop a living or revocable or grantor trust. I'll just again start saying living trust. When you develop a living trust, the primary one of the primary purposes is to sort of have a easy transition upon your passing for non-retirement assets. So that could be taxable investment accounts, it could be property, it could be land, it could be, automobiles or whatever. What I mean by easy is it avoids the probate process. Now, when you pass away, when someone passes away in the United States, their assets are typically governed by a will, a legal document that they draft to determine what happens with those assets. It's overseen and administered by what's called an executor or an executrix. That is it, or the courts would notify that as a personal representative. That is the person that someone names to sort of oversee this process and administer this process. It is sort of governed is the wrong word, but let's say helped through the court system in the United States. Typically a local court holding jurisdiction where the person lived, resided. So there's an entire process by which a person, let's say you pass and, your brother or your wife or somebody is, you've named them as the executor, the executrix.
What?
That's just him or her, by the way. They go down to the county clerk's office. They present the will, they present their driver's license, they present the death certificate. They are then appointed the personal representative. They actually have a document saying that they are the personal representative. They can then do all these things like, they can get information on your bank account. They can call up your investment firms. They can, all these different things, pay bills on your behalf, etc. And then there's a process by which they submit basically an inventory to the court. This is what, you know, Jimmy had at his passing, all of these assets. And, you know, we have given enough time to find all the liabilities, yada, yada. And now we're going to close this probate process and distribute these assets. Often there's an attorney involved in this because the grieving spouse or individual, the last thing they want to do is deal with all this nonsense. So there's an attorney fee, there's probate fees, et cetera. And oh, by the way, it's a public document. So it's viewed by anyone. A living trust avoids all of that. All of that.
Woo!
So in the first case, a living trust can be used to avoid probate. Now, there's a couple of caveats here. One, once you actually get the document, boy, I'm going down some rabbit holes.
It's all good. I'm loving it.
I know, but this is going to be too long. Once you get the document, many people fail to actually put things in the living trust. This is amazing to me. I see this constantly. People show up and I say, well, talk to me about your estate planning. They're like, oh, yeah, we have living trust. They say it with pride. They had these drafted documents. They put well thought into it, et cetera. And I go, well, that's interesting. None of your investment accounts say living trust. And they're like, well, yeah, but we have a living trust. I was like, yeah, but you got to have it say living trust. Like, you have to did you retitle your house? Well, no. Did you retitle the property, the farm you have? No. Okay, so newsflash, you have this living trust. Nothing will go through there first. It will all go through the will. Now, more often what happens is with a living trust, they get a will as well. Because there's tangible, you're not going to put your watch in the name of the living trust. You're not going to put your knickknacks in the name of the living trust. But here's what a will traditionally says when accompanied by a living trust. It says, all my property goes into the living trust. But guess what? How do you get it there? You got to go through probate. So the first caveat, if you in fact do get a living trust, and maybe many of you listeners out there, you're like, oh, I have a living trust. Oh, we've never put anything into the living trust. That's step number one. But step number two is that you can actually avoid this probate process and avoid getting a living trust as well, simply putting a beneficiary designation on all of your assets, including your property. You can do that. My mother, for instance, I don't want to deal with probate when my mother passes away, and she has a decent-sized estate outside of retirement accounts. And I mean, decent, you know, it's okay, meaning it would be a hassle going through probate. So we have everything titled in the name of beneficiaries, my sister and I, if something were to happen to her. So it just, boom, it's done. And there will be no probate process whatsoever. So that's the traditional sort of what people get for a trust. It's to avoid probate. The second thing it can potentially do is to help with estate tax credit and estate tax liabilities. And I'm just going to leave that there because we're in an environment right now where that is a very, very, very small percentage of population that even impacts. So I'll leave that there. The only other things I would say, and then I'll let Daniel chime in. I don't know what he'll add at this point.
Just wrap it up.
The only other thing I'll add is we have trusts for our children, primarily because I have a special needs son. So we have gotten a special needs trust for his benefit. We also have some living trusts because I wanted to be super specific with what happens to money upon our passing because of our child with special needs. I wanted to leave nothing to chance that could impact his Social Security benefits, his disability benefits, or any other benefits he might be receiving. So we did that. It's a unique situation. I will tell you, without a special needs child, we would have probably never had living trusts. We would have just used beneficiary designations and named the appropriate things that we needed to name in our will. And oh, by the way, caveat, you can actually name a trust in a will so that it's set up at your death. But that's a whole nother discussion altogether. Okay, I think I'm done.
Good discussions for a lawyer.
Yeah, great discussions for a lawyer. And again, a lot of the lawyers you know, that we refer to, and again, the gentleman we had on the video, he can give guidance and draft documents. You just have to get them executed in the state you're in. But he can work with folks all over the United States.
Yeah, totally. So to kind of simplify and summarize everything that you talked about, a trust is really just some type of separate legal entity that you set up in order to protect your assets or follow the instructions for your assets when you're no longer able to do so. In some roundabout way, that'll summarize most trusts. So the most common ones that people set up are for the purposes of when they pass away or are incapacitated, things like that. But there's also, as you mentioned, special needs trusts, charitable trusts, and a litany of other potential ways that you might want to instruct or protect your assets, whether that's from your inability to do so or for tax reasons or for other special benefits. So that's really when you sort of summarize what a trust is and why it exists. It's kind of probably the third step in line for people in their estate planning. Once you kind of sort out things like life insurance and wills and things like that, then as you sort of have some assets that you then do need to instruct or protect, the kind of third layer that you would add on there is that protection or instruction, at which point you would talk to an estate planner attorney to kind of walk you through that and help identify which kind of is necessary for your specific case. So for instance, one specific case that we're looking at in our family is we have life insurance for our kids. If something happens to both of us, they're the contingent beneficiary on that. Our kids would be guardianed.
Mm-hmm, a guardian.
I'm saying that in like the third person, yeah, and it doesn't sound make sense, but they'd be guardianed by my wife's sister. But what we would likely do is have our life insurance go into a trust that then benefits the kids for the long term, rather than having the kids just be the contingent beneficiary. So now that they're under 18 and then they have, you know, significant life insurance monies in their name, and or we don't have to then put it to not our kids, their guardians, and then trust that it's eventually going to get to them. So a trust then would help us trust that it's going to be used for their benefit. It can go in the trust. There could be legal language that says what it can and can't be used for. And we could actually set up a third party as a trustee for some checks and balances if we really want to do. So that's like one example among a litany of others that you might use it for.
I have something here that I need to read to you from Barbara. Mm-hmm. Frank, if your fat monkey heart is still beating, then congratulations. I want you to know that I hereby leave all of your money to Bruce Mathis, the real father of my children.
What? What?
That's great. I also say, you know, I've seen trusts that there's things called dynasty trusts that are set up for, you know, multi-generational, I mean, irrevocable trusts, insurance trusts, I mean, you name it, charitable remainder trusts, charitable lead trusts. There's just a huge, huge world of estate planning and trust use that's out there. It's fascinating, fascinating world. It's a great question though, Jimmy. And again, if you have any, you know, further questions or thoughts, I think it makes sense to dialogue with an attorney. And unlike a lot of times when you call an attorney and the clock is running and you're going to get a bill, you know, a lot of times estate planning attorneys will be willing, more than willing, to sit with you, discuss your situation, give you some guidance, and then even give you a price quote. That's not uncommon. They're not uncommon to say, yeah, this entire thing would cost, you know, $1,500 or $1,000 or $2,000 or whatever it is. And so you know what you're getting before and what you're going to pay for before going in and to give you peace of mind and help you budget accordingly. All right. All Jimmy did was send us an audio question to podcast@diymoney.org. That's podcast@diymoney.org. And we'll send him a $25 Amazon gift card. Remember, friends, the secret to wealth is pretty simple. Live on less than you make. Invest the rest. Do so for a very long time. Make it a great one.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the show. If you want your question aired on the show, be sure to send that to us and you'll get a $25 Amazon gift card.
This show is for entertainment and educational purposes only and is not intended as personal financial advice. Before making any financial decision, please do your homework and consult a financial advisor as needed.